Today's recording is dedicated in honor of the birthday of Chana Bas Simcha, Helen Bortz. May she live till 120 and may she have a successful year in all things physical and spiritual and continue in her ways of spreading Torah and mitzvahs to the San Diego community by her son, Julian. I think most people would agree that one of the most beautiful ways that we refer to God, one of the most beautiful titles that we give to Hashem, is Yedid Nefesh, which of course comes from one of the most stunning pieces of poetry and Torah literature, the Yedid Nefesh that we all know, that even made it into the Siddur. We call Hashem Yedid Nefesh. Now, frankly, I always understood that the word Yedid means a friend. Yedid Nefesh means a soul friend. And we're referring to God as the friend of our soul. And that understanding, I guess, is based on the fact that in modern Hebrew, in modern spoken Hebrew, a Yedid is a friend. But recently I saw, both in the Gemara and Menachos and Daf Nun Gimel and many places in the Bible, that biblically and rabbinically, the word Yedid means beloved. Actually comes from those that go yad biyad, hand in hand, and literally has the idea of being a beloved. And in dictionaries, it actually says that there is an ambiguity in the word yedid between a platonic friend and a romantic friend. Because of this inconsistency, but what has always been biblically and rabbinically known as the beloved, yedid, and what today in modern Hebrew is called a friend. A yedid is just a friend. And therefore comes out according to this that when we're referring to Hashem as Yedid Nefesh, we're not just saying He's the friend of our soul, He's the beloved of our soul. And I looked into what's the makor of Reb Elazar Azkari that wrote the poem Yedid Nefesh. What's his makor? What's his source? And the source is actually from Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 7. When God refers to us as Yedidus Nafshi, as the beloved of His soul, the love of my soul, God says, that we are the beloved of God's soul, so to speak. And Reb Elazar Azkari in his poem is reciprocating that we then are calling Hashem Yedid Nefesh, the beloved of our soul. And so as I was reflecting on this new way of understanding what it means that we're calling Hashem Yedid Nefesh, not just as the friend of our soul, but the beloved of our soul, I was thinking, what actually is the nafka mina? What's the difference? What's the difference between if we refer to God or we think of God as just a friend, Yedid Nefesh, as like in modern Hebrew, Yedid, or the beloved of my soul? My soul's beloved. What makes that God is no longer just a friend actually becomes the beloved of my soul, Yedid Nefesh. And I think that one of the main ways we could understand this deepening of the relationship is by the fact that if we reflect, what makes one friend a better friend than another? And one of the most important things that a friend becomes a deeper friend is to whom you could tell your secrets to. You have many friends, could be your acquaintances, but the truest friends are the ones to whom you could really tell your secrets, that you could bear your soul to them. And therefore the beloved of one's soul, the ultimate Yedid Nefesh, the ultimate beloved of one's soul, is one to whom your soul could be completely naked. That although that on a deep level every single person is the custodian of a completely private individual world, and for most of the other people in the world, we keep a very solid facade covering up what we really are. A truest friend, the beloved, is one to whom we're comfortable allowing to see everything, everything we are inside. As the philosopher John O'Donohue explains, that the infinity that haunts everyone is the infinity of one's own interiority, the world that lies hidden behind our human face that we present to the world, the vulnerability of the inner exposure of the depths of what we really are. And it's only to our true beloved, the true Yedid Nefesh, that we could completely bear and invite into that depth of who we are. And therefore you understand that when we're referring to Hashem as Yedid Nefesh, as the beloved of our soul, that means that there's nothing more that we want than to allow God to see everything that we really are. To bring God into our secret place, into the secret garden of who we are, that although no man can see God and live, but that to understand that real life is to allow God to see us. And I found that the Rambam, Maimonides in the Guide of the Perplexed, chapter 18, the way that Ibn Shmuel learns the Rambam is saying that when we say, Kirvas Elikim Li Toiv, the closeness of God is good for me, as it says in Tehillim, or kirvas elokim yechbatzun, that they desire the closeness of God, as Isaiah says. What does it mean that we want the closeness of God? Seemingly geographically, of course, God is everywhere. But as the Rambam is explaining, is that what we want more than anything is that God should know all our thoughts, that God should be aware completely of our complete subjectivity, that the ultimate bliss is to know that God is close to me means that He is my beloved of my soul, and He knows absolutely everything about me. Now, seemingly, when you think about this superficially, that might sound very intimidating. Do we really want God to know me completely? What if He won't like what He sees? Sometimes we don't like what we see when we see ourselves. But on deeper reflection, as the religious existential philosopher Jacques Maritain explains beautifully in his book Existence and the Existent, that if man is not truly known to God, then in essence every man has the experience of desperate solitude. Because in truth, to any other human being, I could never be known completely as subject, but only as an object in their world. As much as I try to open myself up to my physical beloveds, they could never be aware of the inexhaustible depth of all of what I am, all my complexity of my inner circumstances, all the recesses of my subjectivity. Only God alone could know me in this way. Only to God can I be completely uncovered. If I am not known to God, no one could know me completely. I don't even know myself completely, my own truth, in my own existence, me as subject. Now, this doesn't just mean being known to other people. Of course, obviously, when known to neighbors or to other people in the community, we're always severed and wounded from our true identity. We're always unjustly known by the others. In the eyes of people that barely know us, it's a travesty of who we really are. They just see us in their subjective perspective of us as a complete object, which is what Jean-Paul Sartre meant, that hell is other people, because other people see me through their eyes. They can't know me. But what Maritain is saying is that even my physical beloved, as much as a person tries to let them in, there's no way for one human being to completely penetrate the inner world of another. It's only God. To be known as subject in all the dimensions of one's being, to have one's truth be known, to have justice done to one's true being, to be truly understood 100% is only if God is karev, is close to us, is our beloved, knows us. Now, the idea that we are known to God, who scrutinizes the loins and the heart, might at first dissolve us in fear and trembling because of the evil that is within us. But on deeper reflection, how can we keep from thinking that God, who knows us, who knows the nakedness of our wounds, also knows the secret beauty of the nature that He gave us? He sees the innate goodness we have inside. And therefore, then being known by God is being known by a loving knowledge. And to know that we are known to God is not merely to experience justice, it is also to experience mercy. To come to terms with the fact that the more God knows us, He does love us. Yedid nefesh, beloved of our soul, that the infinity of our interiority is completely filled with God, with our beloved. That's what it means to grow close to God. May we learn to deeply embrace and cherish being the beloved of God's soul and God being the beloved of our soul.